Welcome to Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. Now here is your host, Katrina Forseth, a missionary serving as State Director for CEF of Illinois.
Hi, and thank you again for listening to Telling Future Generations, where we are committed to igniting God's people with a passion and equipping them for telling future generations about God and His Word. We are continuing a very special interview with Tim Noe, who serves with Child Evangelism Fellowship at the International Ministries Headquarters in Warrenton, Missouri. And he serves in the Global Partnership Ministries Department, where their desire is to help raise awareness and need of sharing the gospel around the world. Just this past year, Child Evangelism Fellowship reached over 15.6 million children, boys and girls, that heard the good news of Jesus Christ just this past year. And CEF is now serving in our 77th birthday, going into our 78th birthday here next year in 190 countries around the world currently. So we're just so glad and excited what God is doing. And Tim, thanks again for joining us.
Thanks for having me. And Katrina, thank you for your part in that 15.6 million children that are reached here in Illinois.
Oh, well, thank you. And a lot of our listening audience, they may not realize, but one of the reasons why you are here in Illinois right now at this time is because you have served as our banquet speaker for our CEF Illinois Fall Banquet that we just had just a couple weeks ago in mid-October. So I'm so glad that you're able to come and you live through that and praise the Lord for what He has done and that He was glorified as we gave testimony to the Lord for what He's done here in Illinois, but also in just getting a passion, a sense of what God is doing and His work around the world. Now, at the banquet, you were sharing about the SPAN program, which means Sponsor a National, which is where, you know, God has put that passion on your heart, again, to by more nationals being trained and more nationals being equipped and supported through the SPAN program, then that means that's more laborers for the harvest field, and that means a greater harvest for our Lord and reaching even more boys and girls for Christ. So could you back up to maybe just a little bit and explain to how did SPAN even get started, and how did that program even come about?
Well, I've been told that a gentleman by the name of Raymond Florence started SPAN in the early 1970s. He did a little fundraising, and it was just kind of a baby steps. And over time, some other folks got involved in it. More recently, our president, Reese Kaufman, got excited about it. And through fundraising initiatives, that's grown to where last year, 535 nationals, as of December of 2013, were receiving SPAN sponsorship from people from outside their countries so that developing countries would have workers.
Now, where did that start from before? You said it's grown to over 500. Where was that before, just maybe a couple years ago?
Well, 2008, we had 196 workers.
Wow.
And so it's really grown incrementally since 2008.
So that means there's over 500 workers now that they are receiving additional support, or maybe
right.
That is the main support that they receive that allows them to serve the Lord full-time as a national worker. That is just amazing.
Yeah.
So that's how the program started then.
Exactly.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I know we've been talking about, and you mentioned at the banquet about how when one person is trained and one person is equipped and supported, what can God do with one person? You know, I was thinking of what D.L. Moody said, you know, the world has yet to see what God can do with a man who's wholly committed to Him. And you told a story at the banquet about Joseph Kabuli. And I'm not saying that there's like that's the man that we look at, but he has a story that he committed his life. Could you share with our audience about the story of a person who committed his life and what God can do with one person who is wholly committed to Him?
Well, God is at work. And when you think about him as an 8-year-old boy, he was looking out tending his dad's cattle. His dad sent him out there. He had nothing else to do. He wasn't really thinking about it, but these children kept coming by, and they were going to church, and they were going to school. And Joseph one day asked his dad, why can't I go to church, and why can't I go to school? His dad looked at him and said, well, son, no, your job is to keep the cattle. Well, Joseph's dad was a polygamist. He was a Muslim. And he and the wife that he had Joseph with, they had made an agreement that he would never go to school, he would never go anywhere to be influenced by Christians and possibly come to Christ. Well, God saw when he was told, no, you can't go to church, you can't go to school. You can imagine a little boy slumping over and going back to the cattle. And God watched, and he touched the heart of the Queen of England, because in those days, Kenya was a colony. And she made a decree that all the children should go to school. Sounds like, and there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And the story of Christ, what the kind of things God does, he can move the hearts of kings and rulers to touch the life of a little boy. And when that decree came down to Kenya and into the village, and his dad had to come back and say, Joseph, I guess you're going to school after all. So he goes to school, and one day a missionary showed up at that school, and they shared the gospel along with the Bible story, and Joseph trusted Christ, came home to an irate father. And he responded to the father by just simply praying every day, 10 miles as he walked to school, 10 miles home. He prayed name by name for the two wives, his father, and all their children, all his siblings. And everyone except his father ended up coming to Christ. He became the only member of his family that ever made it through high school, ever went to school.
Wow.
But he graduated, he worked for the government, he started his own business, and as a grown man, Joseph Kavuli was invited to become a part of CEF's National Board of Kenya in 1978. So at the urging of CEF President Reese Kauffman, sometime after that, after he'd seen him raise funds to build an institute building, Reese asked him to come on board full time with CEF. And so he resigned his commission with the government, came for 3 months of training at the Children's Ministries Institute that's taught in Warrenton, Missouri, and became a CEF national missionary in Kenya in 1993. 1 year later, in 1994, became national director of Kenya. And behind that, in 1997, was appointed regional director of East and Central Africa, serving in 11 countries. He's now one of 8 regional directors. We've been talking about SPAN. Our SPAN project is all administered by these 8 regional directors. He's one of them who determines who gets sponsorship through SPAN.
Now, how many countries does Joseph Kavuli oversee in his region?
11 countries.
There's 11 countries. And how many children do they reach in their region approximately every year?
Well, the last 2 years, it's been amazing. They grew from 2.8 million in 2012 to over 4.5 million in 2013. Just huge. It's now 28% of CEF's whole ministry.
And I think I remember you sharing that Kenya, CEF of Kenya specifically, is one of the highest countries in the world as far as CEF is concerned about how many children that they reach per year, just Kenya alone, not to mention those other ones, but just Kenya, what God is doing.
Mm-hmm. 1.2 million children, and it's 1/15 approximately of our ministry.
And this is what the Lord has done from the little boy who went from watching over cattle, and how he brought him to the Lord. And then he brought him right into the ministry through training, equipping, and supporting. And now look what the Lord has done. That is just—
Praise the Lord.
That's just amazing what God has done. You know, I can really tell that you're passionate about what you do. And I've heard you say that you have a life verse. Would you like to share that with our audience?
It is, see to it that you stimulate one another to love and good deeds. In the role of trying to encourage folks to give, we're always in a position where we're asking. But if I twist someone's arm and I ask them to give to something they don't have a heart for, their passion isn't in it, that's not a profitable thing for them to do. It's not profitable for me to ask. But when a person's heart is there, God loves that. He rewards that. And I've seen your passion for Kenya. I've seen your passion for CEF of Illinois' children. I've met other folks who had passion for different things. And when that's there, God loves it and God rewards it.
Mm, that's wonderful. You know, I remember you sharing with me earlier that your testimony of how you dedicated yourself to the Lord to go wherever he wanted you to go. Can you just share that? I just love hearing how God, he not only calls us to salvation, but then God has a plan for each one of us. And we're all to have a part to play. Even if we're not the one that's going, we're all are part of God's A team in taking this gospel to the ends of the world. There is no plan B with God. We are God's plan to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And we each have a part in that. Could you just share how the Lord called you into full-time ministry and how that happened?
Well, when I came to Christ at age 11, I was hearing a sermon that was on the broad road that leads to destruction, and I just recognized I was a sinner and was on that broad road. And the interstate highways through Knoxville, Tennessee were what we were he was using it as an illustration. And I remember those barricades at certain points where the road was done. And it's like, you have to take that exit or you're in trouble to get on the small road that leads to life, as it talks about. So that was when I knew I needed Christ. But at age 14, I was at a missions conference. And at that conference, came face to face with the reality that Christ died for sinners. And, you know, why let that be in vain? And I just said, well, Lord, I don't know if you're calling me to be a missionary, a pastor, or what. You show me, I'll go there.
Mm. And so, and then from that point on, you just were following the Lord step by step, and you let him lead and guide you. And we just praise the Lord for what he has done. And we also want to, I just want to thank you again, Tim, for coming, you and your wife, and being part of our CF family for even just a few days, a moment in time, and how you have allowed the Lord to, even now, to impact you and let the Lord use you. It's all about him. It's not about us. It's all about him. And at the banquet that we had just a few weeks ago, we talked a lot about the story of the four candles, and I just thought I'd just read that to our audience in closing, because it just really highlights, if you can imagine four people from four different walks of life, four different ages, and it talks about the importance of why to reach a child for Christ now. The story of the four candles. Just see how short this candle is, the candle that I hold. It represents a man who found the Lord when he was old, and though his light is shining now and bright beyond a doubt, he hasn't much to give because his light will soon be out. This candle that I have will burn much longer than the other. I love its glowing light, don't you? It represents a mother who found the Lord in middle age. Her children were all grown. If only she had known the Lord when they were still at home. This candle is a longer one. It represents a youth who gave his heart to God and walks the path of right and truth. His light can shine out long and bright with many trophies won, with more to give because he found the Lord when he was young. This candle, the last candle, is the longest one. I'm sure you'll like it best because you know 'twill shed its light much longer than the rest. It represents a little child who heard the call and came with many years to serve the Lord and shine in Jesus' name. The story of the four candles. Every person is a mission field, and every person needs to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. But the truth is, when you reach a child, you have a whole life now, that they can shine for Jesus and live their life for the Lord. Well, thank you again, Tim, for being with us here today. We just really appreciate it.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Katrina. Thank you for having me.
And thank you again for listening to Telling Future Generations, where we are committed not only to making Christ known, but shining the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ so that every child, every nation, every day can hear about the Lord Jesus.
Thank you for joining us today for Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. To learn how you can partner with Child Evangelism Fellowship to reach children in your community, please call 309-688-9699 or visit cefofillinois.com. Please join us again next week at the same time for Telling Future Generations.